So the talk today, as we mentioned earlier, is on right energy, sometimes called right effort. And this talk, and that, you know, I wonder, the first thing I'll ask everyone is, how does that topic make you feel? And the reason I ask that is, I noticed as I was doing research for this and looking at various talks, various articles, a surprising number of people mentioned that, you know, when the authors or the speakers would say that when they first heard the term right effort, they immediately kind of cringed or felt exhausted or, oh boy, here comes a lecture on how I should be trying harder. Improve. This is self-improvement. And I have to say, I think my first contact with this topic was very similar. This was something, you know, I stayed away from diving into this topic of energy for a little while, just because it was not the thing that appealed to me. And, you know, maybe if I'd been looking harder, I would have realized that I was avoiding it in some way, and that was in a way a way I should be, you know, a reason to kind of maybe look at it a little more carefully. But I think also part of the reason is that when you hear that topic, or at least when I heard that topic, I kind of misunderstood what it was actually talking about. What are we talking about when we say right effort or right energy? And, you know, so I think it's actually helpful to deconstruct the origin. Like, we, you know, right energy, right effort, these are all translations to English. And what was meant, so I'll give a little bit of context here, and actually a little bit of speculation too, that might be helpful in kind of understanding what we're really talking about. So first, when right, there's the word right and the word energy. Energy is sometimes effort, and these words come from the Pali words vayama and virya. Okay, both vayama and virya mean something like energy and effort. And I've seen various sources say that we're talking about virya here, and others say that we're talking about vayama. I'm not going to get too wrapped up in that. But the word we're talking about means something like to exert energy, to exert effort, sometimes to extend oneself, to measure. That's part of what we're talking about. That's the feeling of this word. And then I think the key is actually understanding what we mean by right. When we say right energy, right effort, right is the word samma. Samma, it doesn't mean right as in virtuous or appropriate. It means right as in harmony, in balance. So this is like writing a lopsided painting, you know, one that's tilted on your wall. It's setting it, if it's too much on the left, move it to the right. If it's too much on the right, move it to the left. That's what we mean by right here. We're talking about balancing energy. So we're not necessarily talking about putting in more energy, putting in more effort. In fact, we could very well, for the majority of people here, be talking about putting in less. I don't know. Depends on what your starting point is. And so here's the part of what I wanted to say that's kind of speculative. You know, if you look at older teachings on this, at least when I've looked at older teachings or original teachings on right energy, there is actually more emphasis on putting in a little more effort, giving yourself a little bit of a kick to you know, energize your practice, to not be sluggish. And when I hear modern teachers talk about this, I hear a lot more effort, and especially teachers in the Western world, I hear a lot more effort on that maybe we're doing a little too much. Maybe we're putting in a little bit too much expectation. Maybe we're striving a bit too much. We're over-energizing. And sometimes the talks are more oriented towards what to do if we're on that side of the balance. How do we right that side of the balance? And the speculation may be that it could be, and this is total speculation, maybe it's more of a modern problem or a Western problem to be on that side of the balance. And maybe earlier teachings were more dealing with the problem of being a little too sluggish, a little under-energized. But for whatever reason, I noticed that there, you know, that seems to be a modern emphasis. is putting balance on not being too energized. So I want to start by returning. I'll do this really briefly. We just had a meditation, and I asked you to focus on the tip of your nostrils. Whether or not you did that or the practice you preferred to do, I'm going to ask you for just a minute as an exercise before we talk further about this to again go back to the tip of your nostril. So before we begin, when we actually begin the meditation, I'll ring a bell once. But I'd like you to go again to the tip of your nostrils for just a moment. And when you drift, come back. And I'd like to bring in an inquiry. As you're noticing the tip of your nostrils, notice the quality of your concentration. Notice the quality of your energy. Okay? And at the end, I'll have a couple questions about the quality of that concentration. But so we're doing this exercise just for a minute or two. We've already spent some time on this, I know. So the instruction is go to the breath at the tip of your nostrils once again. Just notice that. See if you're drifting. If you're drifting, put a little energy into coming back. And have this inquiry. What quality of energy are you bringing? I'll ring a bell. We can begin. As you hold to the tip of your nostrils, do you feel concentrated? Do you feel alert? Does it stay there? Do you feel relaxed? Do you feel like you're striving or straining? So just take a moment to think for yourself. How did I show up to that? What was my energy? Was it, oh boy, here we go? Was it easy to do? Did it feel, were you distracted? Were you restless? Were you aversive, not wanting to do it? Were you willing? Were you in a trance? Sometimes in a meditation, I can feel a kind of driftiness, a floatingness, a trance-like state. How prone were you to drift off? So, in talking about these things or thinking about your state, the teacher Jill Shepherd notes in a talk of hers about this that we're often prone to one end of the spectrum or the other. We sort of have a natural affinity, some of us, to one end or the other. So I'm going to describe those ends of the spectrum for a moment. On one end of the spectrum is when you're under-energized, right? If, you know, sometimes just hearing that word under-energized, you might know, oh, that's me. you might be like, oh, that's definitely not me. You know, it might be clear from just hearing that. But, you know, if one ways you can tell if hearing something like right energy, if the immediate feeling is, oh, you feel a little judged by it or not good enough, or if it makes you feel exhausted just to hear those words, right energy, you know, that can be a sign that you're under-energized. If you are prone to procrastinating, or if you're prone to give yourself a lot of breaks, a lot of well, self-care is always good, but if you feel like it moves sometimes to self-indulgence, right? Or if you feel like you're always in your comfort zone, if you are very attached to routines and you like to stay within your routines, these are all qualities that can be associated, not necessarily, but qualities that are associated with under-energized. In your practice, when you're practicing, if you always go to calm and ease, if your meditation is always about feeling relaxed, letting your muscles go, and that's mainly either your experiences that you're always in that state. Maybe you drowse off, you get tired, you spend some time sleeping or drifting. Those are all qualities associated with an under-energized. On the other side, over-energized, if you approach this with an excess of zeal, if you also feel, you know, and these are ways I think that I identify with more, if when you approach meditation or you approach a task and you approach it with a sense of striving, if you're very goal-oriented, if you have high expectations, you know, in practice, this is very common. You know, we can have a sense of what's supposed to be happening in practice. You know, if we set an intention for practice, that's a great thing. If we set a goal and we have an idea of where we want to go, that's wonderful. But if we then have an expectation of what it's supposed to feel like, where we're supposed to go, where we're supposed to end up, not getting there, not going far enough, or if what's actually happening once we set that intention is not what we wanted, not what we intended, and we come into conflict with that, we come into struggle, those are signs of over-energy. You know, in life there are ways this shows up that are different from meditation practice. If you find yourself pushing yourself, making to-do lists that are too ambitious for your days, right? You're trying to get too much and you measure your success against it, and you find yourself usually not feeling successful in your day. Maybe you've set too ambitious a list. If you're getting too little sleep, if you find yourself filling every bit of free time with some productive activity, right? These are associations with over-energy. Other things we can do that sort of affect our, you know, sort of broad feelings of how we show up in life that are associated with over-energy. If you feel like you can never do enough to heal the world or to combat climate change, if it's never enough what you're doing, that can be a feeling too, right? That can be a sense of over-energy. So I'll note also that, you know, the story of the Buddha kind of reflects both of these states. Right? The historic Buddha, you know, began with a life of leisure, right? He wasn't expected to do anything. He was expected to keep away from challenging situations. He wasn't supposed to see people who were ill or suffering, or certainly not corpses or dead bodies, to really stay within comfort zone. And, you know, when he first embarked on spiritual journey, he went kind of in the opposite direction. He went to penances, body purification activities that put himself in extreme situations, right? And, you know, he did all this before finding the middle path. I think I remember a story where, you know, he experienced at some point in the middle of these body purification kinds of activities, he experienced a jhana state. He experienced this pleasantness, this happiness in meditation, this pleasure. And he was like, oh, yeah, a little bit of that's good. That feels, this really helps. And, this is all kind of going towards this feeling of balance and middle path that he eventually came to. Right? So I'll say a little bit more about over-energized too before we go on. Over-energized, when we get into those states where, we're really striving and we're putting too much on ourselves, I want to note that these things can lead to impatience, right? When am I going to feel the fruits of this practice? When am I going to get enlightened? It can go to self-judgment very easily, or doubt, right? Self-judgment side is, I can't do this. The doubt side, this isn't working for me. This is the wrong practice for me. It can also lead to anxiety. When we did that exercise a moment ago, how many of you felt anxious? Yeah. And all of these can actually drain energy. And sort of paradoxically lead to the opposite end of the spectrum. We can be spending a lot of energy on these expectations, on these anxieties, on these self-judgments. So paradoxically, this kind of over-energized state we're talking about can go into kind of a ping pong where you're over-energized, then you're drained, you're exhausted, you're under-energized, and then you swing back the other way. You're always you're going back and forth. Between these, I have this experience sometimes of my energy throughout a work day, a day when I'm working. I'm volleying back and forth between these two. And, this can lead to a collapse, an exhaustion. Jill Shepherd, who I mentioned earlier, she has a word for it. She calls it the superhero to slug syndrome, which is kind of nicely alliterative. Right, the superhero to slug syndrome. So I also want to note that, we're not all one or all the other of these. Both are possible. How many people related to both sides of this? Both the under-energized and the over-energized sides of this. Yeah, lots of us. I find myself sympathetic to both. When I hear right energy, I told you I reacted with exhaustion. To this. But also, I do this thing where I try to fill my free moments with productive activities all the time, right? I don't let myself relax. I can go between, I do this thing where I'll drink too much coffee and I'll get, too hyped up with coffee. And then I'll find myself at the other end of the spectrum, too exhausted, just a couple hours later or an hour later. And, that's, of course, physical energy, but that's a component of what we're talking about. And there are other components, too, right? It's not just physical energy we're talking about. Sometimes this is about our attitudes, about the amount of energy we're willing to the moment, we're bringing to the moment, how much patience we bring, how much impatience we bring. So we've talked a little bit about this, but, I want to note that there's this question, where can we apply this principle of balancing energy? We've talked about being on one side of the spectrum and the other. We've talked about the fact that the goal is kind of, if we're on one end, if we're over-energized, we want to bring ourselves to the middle, a little less energy. If we're under-energized, we want to bring ourselves to the middle, a little more energy. Where can we apply this? One clear area is meditation. But I've mentioned this, and I just want to be explicit, that this can apply to many endeavors in our life. This can be effort we put into our projects or our work life, whatever keeps us occupied during the day. This can be applied to setting boundaries, conversations we have with relationships we have. We can either be too aggressive, or we can be not aggressive enough. We can be not putting enough energy into keeping space for ourselves, keeping boundaries for ourselves. This can go into conversations with partners, children, friends. family, right? There are so many areas where we can think about balancing this. This also applies to the other paramis, right? This parami, this is the sixth, and we're doing it in, is this the sixth? I think it's the sixth. But if you think about all the other things we've been discussing this year, we just went through a month talking about wisdom. How much energy do we put into cultivating wisdom? Renunciation. How much energy do we put into that? Mindfulness, meditation, all of these things. Energy, putting in the right energy is kind of a pervasive concept. It's something that we can always ask ourselves. Do we have the right energy, the amount? And so when we find ourselves at one end or the other, and we're asking ourselves how we can balance, what can we do? What do we do to balance? How do we get back to the middle? So I'd say the first thing we can do is to just be mindful of where we are and of this intention to balance. For me, that's often a thing I'm just not doing. It's funny, yesterday I was thinking about this talk and I had a whole cup of coffee in front of me and I was about to drink the whole thing and I was like, hey, wait. If I drink this whole thing, I'm just going to be a little too hyped up for the rest of my afternoon. And so I made this choice to just put it in a thermal flask instead and just take a couple sips and then put it away. And I know this is a very physical, literal explanation of energy, but my point is just in bringing it up is just that this applies to so many areas of life. And I did so much better in my afternoon by not being over-energized and kind of just paying attention to having kind of a slow, steady pace, a slow, steady flow of energy moving through me that wasn't overstimulated or understimulated. And it turned out I actually didn't need most of that coffee. Just by kind of paying attention to that balance, those first two sips, I think it's still sitting there in a thermal flask. That was all I really needed. So being mindful of just where we are and of the effort, of the intention to balance. That's thing number one we can do. For the under-energized, when you're feeling yourself under-energized, or if you feel like that's your propensity, that's your natural state of being, a question you can ask is, do you always stay in your comfort zone? And I don't know if you've seen this diagram. I find it helpful to kind of always have this paradigm in my mind, where there's, and you've probably seen this at some point, or many of you may have. There's this idea that the comfort zone, there are three concentric circles. There's the comfort zone that we stay within. There's this zone of stretch, which is outside of our comfort zone, where we're growing, we're productive. And then beyond that is overwhelm. We've done too much. We're not caring for ourselves. We're pushing too hard. And the goal is kind of to spend a good amount of time outside of our comfort zone in this area of stretch, right? Not all the time. We don't always need to be in stretch, but we need to, in order to grow as people, we do need to be in this stretch zone sometimes. So if you're always finding yourself in your comfort zone, always within your routines, always within the things you enjoy, you can ask yourself, should I be in the stretch zone? Should I do things outside of my routines? If you meditate only to get calm and cozy, could you occasionally go to the places that are a little bit more difficult, maybe touching on your emotional state or touching on things that are present in your moment that you don't want to touch? You don't want to go to trauma, right? Or something too hard and jump into overwhelm. But you want to go to where it's stretch, where it's a little productive. For the over-energized, it can be helpful to ask, what's the attitude of mind? Okay? Are you finding yourself in a state where there's striving, wanting, expectation, aversion, no, not this, resistance? if you're finding yourself in, or if you're finding yourself in this ping pong, right, where you over-energize and then you get drained, you under-energize after, and then you find yourself exhausted. And then again, as soon as you feel your energy build up a little bit, you push yourself and you push yourself too hard. If you're noticing that ping pong of energy, that's when you're noticing, okay, I'm over-energized. And what you can do in that case, you can bring in self-compassion. Right? One of the things we often lack is we're kind of pushing ourselves too hard, we're punishing our bodies, we're punishing our minds. And can we be a little kind to ourselves? Can we give ourselves a break? Can we recognize that an important part of this equation is time that is just relaxed, is time that we're restoring ourselves? Another quality we can try and bring in is some patience. We can try and understand that we have expectations. And sometimes just asking, oh, do I have expectations in this moment, can be enough to recognize that, yeah, okay, I'm expecting this moment to be something other than what it is. And that's my struggle, right? Those kinds of things can help. I'll mention one last thing before we go into breakout groups, which is I find that one thing that helps balance energy, regardless of which side of the spectrum I'm on, whether I'm feeling over-energized or under-energized in a moment, is to have a little bit more clarity of purpose. Okay, this can be for a task, it can be for my day, it can be for a meditation. When I begin a meditation, to understand what I'm embarking on, whether I've come in with any expectations, and what I plan on doing. And sometimes the best thing for me to do is to say, okay, these are 20 minutes or whatever, 10 minutes or 40 minutes, whatever it is. Be clear about the amount of time you're going to spend. Be clear that this is time that you've dedicated just for this practice. It's just for this. It's not for doing any of the other things on your to-do list for today. And note if you're going for too much. Are you trying to get enlightened in these 20 minutes? Are you trying to, find yourself in some state of utter peace and calm if where you've started off is a state of being really busy, really stressed, maybe overwhelmed? Are you trying for too much? And be realistic about what's going to happen in these minutes. Be clear. If I'm talking about my work day, sometimes what I do is put too much on my to-do list. Sometimes what I do is put nothing on my to-do list and just kind of launch myself at one thing and then another thing and then another thing without having any sense of how much I want to accomplish and when I want to stop, when I want to call it done, right? If people work and work from home, that can be especially tempting to not stop, right? To not have a clear time when you're like, okay, I'm done. Whatever I've gotten accomplished, I'm done. So that clarity of purpose, I feel it really helps on both sides of this. And when I have a clear purpose, the right amount of energy sometimes just follows. Without much effort, I can put in the right amount of energy. All right, I'll be done with my talk there. Thank you very much for sitting with me. And we'll move now into breakout groups. Okay, welcome back everyone. So there's time now for any comments, any questions that came up. You can use the raise hand function. I think it's at the bottom of Zoom for most people. Yeah, Suze.
A question, a great question that came up in our small group is how much control do we have over the amount of physical energy that we have? Whether you have an illness or just an aging, and So, you know, I appreciate the arenas that you talked about where we do have control and we have agency. And then there's also knowing when we don't.
Yeah.
And then what do we do with that? Oh. And how to, so anyway, I thought it, perhaps you had some thoughts to respond to that.
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. Yeah. I'm curious to hear first, what was, well, I don't want to hear private thoughts on what was discussed, but I'm curious if there are any conclusions in the group. Or was it an open question? Just stayed there.
We each had some different experiences with it.
Yeah.
There's illness and there's aging, and then there's just what life sends your way.
Yeah.
So that's as much as I can.
Yeah.
Maybe the others have something more to share.
Yeah. Well, let's talk first about what's come up. So first noting that physical energy is one aspect of this, right? But you're right, it's one where we have only so much control. And I would also say that we sometimes think there's an illusion of control we have over things like our mental state or our emotional state, where sometimes, and that can lead to a little bit of violence or frustration with ourselves, where we think, oh, you know, the physical is the physical, but we can or should be able to change our mental state or our emotional state just like this, right? And when we find that we can't, we can end up in a struggle or a frustration with ourselves. So in both physical energy and also other kinds of energy, there are limits to what we can do, right? I think just acknowledging that, just bringing in that question, I think is a wonderful aid, right? This is something we all work with. And I think the answer here is some equanimity, right? There are certain things that we can work with. We can notice when there is an imbalance in our energy that we do have control over. And we can strive to make those changes that we can make. But if you're exhausted and you only had 2 hours of sleep last night and you want yourself to meditate or spend time on an energy or a task or a task or a meditation or whatever it is, and you're not able to, that's where you are, isn't it? You know, maybe you need to go to sleep. Yeah, and so there's a meta point here, I guess, is what I'm, which is sometimes what we need to do is be realistic. And so sometimes, you know, we talked about this over-efforting, right? Where sometimes over-efforting is just setting too large a to-do list, setting too ambitious a schedule for yourself, expecting that you can do more than you can do, right? And, you know, I think many of us can relate to that. And so if you're finding that the physical situation where you are, what you're showing up with, or the mental situation or the emotional situation that you're in, what is actually present and true in this moment is one where you don't have the energy to do a bunch of things. Balancing in that case may be striking something off of the to-do list, maybe striking some time off of the meditation, changing your expectation for whether or not you're going to fall asleep when you close your eyes and start focusing on your breath. You know? So I guess that's what I would say about it. I'm curious to hear if you have any thoughts or responses. Anyone who's in the group also. All right, yeah. Lauren, yeah.
Yeah, well, I've had experiences where, first in aging, I noticed that I got to kind of a certain age and I definitely had less energy. And I just have accepted that. And you can look at my garden and you can tell that the difference between a few years ago when I just go out there and I'd be weeding and I'd spend hours And I can't do that anymore. And it shows in my garden. And I have to accept that. But one of the things I used to have a lot of trouble with, and I still have from time to time, is falling asleep when I meditate. And, you know, it would be after lunch, and I would just get that thing where you kind of go like that, and you can't fall over, so you have to do something. And the technique that I got for myself was just noticing that when I started to fall asleep, my focus would get la la land. In other words, I would realize that things were not making sense in my brain and I was on my way out. So before I totally fell over, I would alert myself and that's how I would get through the meditation. It wasn't very pleasant, but then I had a retreat and I would really welcome anybody who has an idea about this. I had a retreat. I went back east. I really wanted to get a lot out of this retreat. And I was sick and I had jet lag. And so I kept falling asleep every time it was time to meditate, but I wanted so much. I only had a week and I did not want to fall asleep. And so for a couple of days, I would just be falling asleep and getting awake and falling asleep. And at some point, it totally shifted. All of a sudden I had energy. All of a sudden I did not fall asleep. It wasn't like I was better. It was like something else took over and it wasn't me, but my mind just cleared or something. And it just said, you are now able to stay awake. So I don't know what happened and I've never been able to quite repeat that, but, it made me see that there's something, there's another energy that's available sometimes, is all I'll say. That's what it appears to me. And also I'm taking a journal, noting my energy right now, and I'm seeing that different things help my energy, like sometimes it's setting, sometimes it's like I'm really fatigued doing one thing and then I do this other thing and suddenly I've got energy. So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
To investigate.
Thank you, Lauren. You mentioned so many things that I think will probably resonate with folks here. One is, as we age, we have less energy, right? And there's this sort of accepting of that state. And I think also just bringing up retreat practice to anyone who's been on a retreat, this swing of energies is real. Right? I mean, how many people can relate to this having been on a retreat? You know, that when you go on a retreat, I often, you know, there are often phases for me. And sometimes I even develop expectations around these phases, you know, where I'm going to get there, I'm going to be enthusiastic the first evening, and then I'm going to be totally exhausted for about 2 days, 3 days. I'm just going to be falling over and asleep. And then I'm going to gain energy. And the hardest was when I didn't have that expectation at all. I didn't know that I was going to get so tired. And I really felt like you're talking about, like, I need to get something out of this, you know? And I wasn't really accepting the state I was coming into the meditation. You mentioned for the retreat, you really wanted to get a lot out of. You were sick. You're traveling all the way to another coast. You know, there were all these conditions that were going to affect how you showed up at that beginning, right? And then, you know, more recently, I feel like the curse I have on retreats is that I have an expectation of, like, okay, it's day four. It's time for my energy to retrieve, you know? Well, okay, let's have that happen. And is it always that way? No, it's not, right? And I've had retreats, you know, my very first silent retreat was at Spirit Rock. And I was so disappointed because it turned out I have some, the only conclusion I can reach is that I had some allergy or something to the room in which we were sitting. And every time I'd walk into that room, I would just start coughing. And of course, there are all kinds of horrible things about the coughing. Like, it's also interrupting everyone else and it makes you so self. And this wasn't like the kind of coughing where you cough a couple times and it's done. This is where, like, you go into paroxysms of coughing, and you're just like, whoa, you're just like going for minutes and minutes and minutes, and I'd have to leave the room, and I got, and actually, the number of sits I had during that entire time when I just wasn't consumed with this coughing or the worry of it were very few. And this isn't exactly an energy thing I'm talking about, but it's the expectations that we bring in to any of those situations. I want to mention also that this clarity of purpose or setting these kinds of ideas up in advance to when you do these things, I find this so helpful. Like if I had just gone in and recognized to myself, okay, this is where I'm starting, right? On that first retreat I went to where I got exhausted, this is where I am. I'm coming in from a busy schedule and I'm suddenly going into retreat mode. I'm going to be tired. When you were sick and flying over to another coast, you're starting off sick. Noting where you are and noticing when you think about what you want to get out of this. So, you can have the exercise in when you're setting clarity of purpose of going through and thinking what you want to get out of it. But then there's this meta exercise, which is when you look at what you've set out as your expectations and you look at where you're starting off, do these align? Are you expecting too much of yourself? Are you thinking that something's going to happen? That are you putting too much, are you doing the over-energizing thing of setting too ambitious of a self, you have a progress expectation for what you're going to be like at the end of this retreat. Any of those things can really influence this. I love your sharing here, and I love that the energy came to you in that particular retreat. When you waited and you went through this period of being tired, it came to you. I kind of felt that yesterday with my coffee. I just took a sip and, oh, I didn't need the rest. But I also want to mention that it may not always go that way, right? It can be dangerous to have the expectation in the future that, oh, I'm going to sit and I'm going to get this energy at the end. Who knows, right? Yeah, thank you for sharing that. There's a lot in that. And obviously, it really animated me. I appreciate the sharing.